Hi, you're listening to the Petri.com MJF Chat Show. I am Mary Jo Foley, aka your Petri.com community magnet, and I am here to interview tech industry experts about various topics that you, our readers and listeners, want to know about. Today's MJF Chat is going to be all about Microsoft's learning tools and resources for developers. And my special guest today is someone I have known for decades, literally. His name is Jeff Sandquist. He is the Microsoft CVP for Developer Relations. And thank you so much for joining me today, Jeff, especially given it's just a week after Build 2020.
Thank you for having me, Mary Jo. I appreciate it. Wow, decades. You make me sound old, which I am. But
I'm older, so that's okay.
No, thank you for having me. This is a privilege. Thank you so much.
No, thanks. So I have a million questions for you just because in the past few years, you've been really changing up how developer relations works at Microsoft. So I know a big part of that focus is moving developer relations more online. So what does that mean exactly? And why did Microsoft decide to do that?
Really, you know, I think about this, you know, you think about Microsoft and the shift and really the whole move to the cloud. And I think, you know, you and I have worked and connected with the community and so forth. And I think the thing about Microsoft is to just jump all the way back. What's our founding moment? Our founding moment is so awesome for that. I love working here because it's not retail. It's not found in search, social networking. It's founded in developers, building tools for developers. Bill and Paul, they're building BASIC for the Altair. And what is the thing that they did immediately following that? They took what they built and went off to show some fellow nerds something cool at an event, right? The Homebrew Computing mm-hmm. Club that they went and took that stuff to. And that's really what it's all about. And you think about our company, and as we move to the cloud, what is, you know, with Azure and that is, course, .NET Windows, love that. We built more on .NET within my team and the company than anyone. Mm-hmm. It's about all developers. So we can go from Node to .NET to you name it. And so this didn't start, you know, this really started about how do we get great docs? And we really started with docs.microsoft.com mm-hmm. and really said, hey, guess what? We've done developer outreach, evangelism, all of that. But if you cannot get somebody from 5 minutes to wow, and a very great way to get started. Why would you go up on stage and tell somebody how to do something? And so docs.microsoft.com really was kind of the start for this. 3 years ago, I guess next week, that we launched that. And that was about making sure that we have phenomenal, up-to-date, and accurate getting started materials that's easy to find. Mm-hmm. We had our content around 17 different websites. Mm-hmm. And you know, we started building that, and we honestly built that on top of GitHub in the very earliest days. We were starting to kind of build it out, and I said to the team, they were like, what CMS should we use? And I said, you know, everybody I've ever met that's frankly a lot smarter than me too, who tried to build a CMS was either fired or failed. Let's not do that. So we made this decision to build on GitHub. And mm-hmm. so now that was 3 years ago. And if you look today, 72 million monthly active users come to docs.microsoft.com. And it is this one solution for our company to be able to publish, but it's done on GitHub so that both community and Microsoft can easily up to date. I know you asked on DevRel, but it's so important because there's been a renaissance of technical documentation that mm-hmm. goes to the top and around our company that we started there.
You know, what's funny, I remember when you guys started this because I was talking to Rick Klaus and he had just joined the advocacy team. And I said to him, what are you going to be working on? And he said, documentation. And I was like, what? I couldn't wrap my head around it. And then I was thinking, even as a journalist, I use docs.microsoft.com constantly, right? Like I feel like I half live in that site because I'm always looking for information about products I'm writing about and things I don't understand and want to learn more about. And I'm like, yeah, now I get why that's such a big deal and why that's like a foundational starting point when you're trying to reach developers and just a technical community in general.
everything starts with great content, right? You know, you live this, right? And content is a very broad sense of the term, right? Content is a session at an event. Content is a video, a YouTube video. It's a doc, right? It's a tweet, right? Mm-hmm. But everything starts with great content. And that is like, you know, an ethos of our team, right? Mm-hmm. Then we say, let's go where developers are, right? And right now developers are online, so that's where we're gonna go. But as we built our advocacy program, it's an engineering discipline. We established a new discipline kind of into the weeds at Microsoft called developer advocate. Now it was an industry term, and our advocates really do about three things. It's a great online content, they work, they connect with the community, they are an all engineers, so they're in our overall Azure group, the cloud and AI group that under Scott Guthrie, the team really focuses on product feedback as well. Mm-hmm. But the work around this online outreach and really our advocacy work is really about going where developers are in a community. And so, you know, I've worked in developer relations or MSDN or Visual Studio or one area of developers my entire career at Microsoft. I started answering the phone, Mary Jo. I was literally, honestly, I was a temp in a cube answering the phone at Microsoft for the developer hotline. That's where I started at Microsoft. Oh,
wow. Nice.
And so we started this with like, how can you help? But you know, if you look at developer relations or company, we often organize by our products, right? We'd organize about, hey, here's you know the Visual Studio outreach team or an area around Windows. And our advocates, we really are organized around a community. So, hey, who are the people that focus on .NET or the Node community or Kubernetes or security or AI? And that's how they do the work. And so we say, hey, start with great content. We hired a lot of people. Some people, the first time they used Azure was the first or second day at Microsoft. They knew AWS, they knew GCP, the Google Cloud product, but they were really about that community. And so they work on behalf of the community. They work on behalf of Microsoft to get that connection. And that was a really important area of our work. In fact, frankly, a lot of times we'd like say hire somebody from the Java community. They spent much of their early time around the docs. Mm-hmm. Then we tailor the outreach to that community, and it's everything on the docs to begin with, like, hey, let's not color code Python the same as C sharp. Let's not also, you know, make sure that we've got to make sure we invest in .NET the right way in that community. And that, if you look at our online outreach with those kind of things of docs, going where our customers are, then we try and bring them back and bring them inside to Microsoft. And, you know, I worked on things like Channel 9, and when we built that out, that was really about connecting people to Microsoft. And when you meet the people, the engineers on the other side of the keyboard, it's about making that connection to them in a way that's authentic. Hey, we have bugs in our software. Or, hey, this is why we did that. And really bringing that into the kind of communication of what we do. Mm-hmm. And that is really, you know, if you look at where we are today, you know, you think about, you know, Build is a great event last week, right? Just so proud to be a part of that, Mary Jo. We wrote the whole event in about 8 weeks is how we kind of built it out. Hmm. But that there, the ability to do that event, I was so proud because, you know, I don't know what other companies could be able to do that in the way that it was. Like it felt Microsoft to me, like what I love to see at Microsoft, which is our people, right? And that the ability to do that and have our presenters, you know, kind of streaming out of their homes and being open that way, that starts with things of Channel 9, the early days of blogging. It starts with our work around .NET and open source. And that event was, we were hungry as well too, to be there because we wanted to connect with our community. And that's really, you know, I think all of those things come together to make sure that Build was great. And like we had 230,000 registrations. We had these like, you know, tens of thousands of people registered for throughout the event and they didn't have to. Mm-hmm. And like 173 minutes, I'm like, you know, reading some stats here that I put together, but like 173 minutes. Oh yeah, not, you know, when we went to plan that event, is that what was kind of fun about it or kind of crazy was like, we started with the MVP summit, moved that virtual, found out a few days later, oh, all our presenters are gonna be remote, but 95% of the presenters for Build were remote as well.
Mm, wow. Do you think this is the new precedent and the new way forward for an event like Build? Like, do you think it virtual, you guys showcased how it can be done, so from now on it's virtual, or do you think there's still a reason to have like a combination of a live and a virtual event when it comes to something like Build?
I think there's still a reason to have a live event in person. Community has always been important, right? Mm-hmm. And our events, you know, the sessions are great and the content are great, but it's about getting people together. You know, even what I talked, you know, think about the beginning of the call, we're thinking about, you go to events too. We, you know, we're at them, working them. We get together. Sometimes we have a beer in the lobby of the hotel, and mm-hmm. and we all work on these together. And community matters more today than it ever has. The in-person aspects of events has to come back at a certain point in time when it's safe to do so. But I think it gets better. And I, I'm a glasses half full person. And right now we're going through this unprecedented times, right? And 2 years of evolution easily in 8 weeks. Sometimes it feels like 4 or 5 years. And I think what happens, it really does. And but what I think what happens with the events, there's a lot of stuff that we do at events that maybe we can do throughout the year, right? Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. training, there's different session breakouts. Why wait till an event to go tell something? We have the, you know, we have different ways through social media and video. You know, we have Learn TV that we talk about in a bit of that we're doing there as a way to connect people in a live way. In a way that people can go find all of our people that are streaming and on videos. We have Microsoft Learn that's hands-on, which really is our hands-on labs infrastructure mm-hmm. now for our events. We should do things throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And then our events, of course, there'll be sessions and breakouts, you know, when it's for us to do that. But I think it just becomes a lot more interesting because we can get a lot of things out of the way throughout the year. Mm-hmm. But Mary Jo, we got to have a beer again one of these days. Brad, you guys are a community and you put these on too. And when it's, you know, right now, you know, we go where developers are. Right now, developers yeah. are online and that's where we are. But when mm-hmm. it's safe to do so, we got to be there in person too. I just mm-hmm. I think they're going to be a lot more fun. I really do. And it's going to be a heck of, you know, really great celebration when we get back together.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yep. Let's talk a little bit about Learn and Learn TV, because I remember when you guys announced Microsoft Learn, it was at Ignite in 2018, so 2 years ago, basically. And then at Build this year, you have Learn TV. So you had Learn.com, and then you had Learn TV. So what are these meant to be? And the reason I'm asking it like that is you have Channel 9, you've got LinkedIn Learning at Microsoft, you've got a lot of different ways people can learn. Through video and video content. So what were you thinking when you came up with these other properties?
So, you know, I think it goes back to what you kind of said, right? There's a renaissance at Microsoft around technical content, really authentic communication that is by developers for developers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'll be really transparent, Mary Jo, and I'm sure you saw this. Our assets, MSDN, TechNet, right? Mm-hmm. All of those had not been invested in the way that, frankly, we should have as a company.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They were not, right? And right. So when I came back to the company, I literally ran user education and technical writing and localization. Those are the first two groups that we got. Mm-hmm. And that was under Scott. And the whole thing was, how do we have great content? We, you know, as we went to really work that, and that was making it so that we didn't just have .NET, Windows, it was Python, Java, like we're, you know, the marketing word is we're the cloud for all. Well, if we're gonna be the cloud for all, we gotta be the docs for all. And that was really step one. Then you start looking at the overall infrastructure we had. We had MSDN and TechNet, but frankly, you know, we had taken our documentation and it was on MSDN and TechNet, but frankly, it was on Azure.com and about 17 different sites. Mm-hmm. And the infrastructure in MSDN and TechNet weren't there. And so we said, look, we've got to go. This is one of those rare times where, guess what? We've got to build this from the ground up. And we made a decision. We're not going to have IT pro ops docs that are on one site and dev docs on the other ones. Frankly, we were duplicating them. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, the term marketing. Lots of friends are like digital transformation. Mm-hmm. Our infrastructure for MSDN and TechNet was not what it needed to be. And so the vision behind this is by developers, for developers, built on GitHub. We built all of Docs on GitHub long before an acquisition was, I'm sure, even thought of. Mm-hmm. That was how we're going to build around our community with contribution. And so first and foremost, in a lot of ways, this is building the new MSDN and TechNet. This is an online service, so to speak, that is a property that we run, but that we go all the way out to the edge of community where developers are, so that we have our, you know, we have Docs and we get people to that, right? Mm-hmm. And then we go out and connect to the community. And so the overall vision here is, let's not have bifurcate our audience and make people have to understand how to do it. It's just Docs, right? Mm-hmm. It's 2 a.m. and a developer has a problem or inspiration strikes. They don't go to our marketing pages. They go to a search engine, they go to Google, they go to Bing, they start typing in terms, and we have to show up in those results with quality content that goes to 5 minutes to wow. And that became our focus. How do we build a quality experience? We went out to Stripe.com, we went out to Twilio, we looked at Ardox, we looked at data, and we saw like 98% of the people, Mary Jo, that visit MSDN and TechNet, 99%, they do not go to the homepage, they go to the library. So we got maniacal about developer experience and Docs, and it was the team that could. And so, you know, the team that could was, we actually started with Enterprise Mobility Suite. It was like, I went and begged Brad and Michael Wallant and said, please, can I please be your Doc site? Really? Okay. I said, look, I just need to start with something. And we had about 10,000 kind of pages of content when we started. And then we hustled and we went and said to the .NET team, please let us be your doc site. We want to do this. We want, really? And then we kind of worked around, and now all of our docs are there. Hmm. But that vision, I'm going to get to learn here, but it all starts with that, which was, how do you get great content by engineers? Microsoft Learn, right, is something that really started with those days. In fact, if you look at the URLs, it's microsoft.com/learn, but it's all built on docs.microsoft.com. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft Learn was similar to how we work with Docs. How do we make it easy to learn? How do we make it easy to learn? How do we teach the world to learn our cloud and all of our technical products? And we had a very different approach for it. You know, there are all sorts of great sites up from Pluralsight to, you know, around the planet that are lean back and watch a couple hours of content. I don't know about you, how do you keep up, right? How do you kind of keep up with your skills? And so Microsoft Learn was, from the ground up, micro-based content. You want to do 10 minutes here? Great. There's 10 minutes of content to unlock a learning path. And it's free and it's interactive. And I don't know if you know if you've gone through it, but like, what was kind of a breakthrough for it that I don't think anybody's doing right now was, one, you don't need an Azure subscription to get started. Mm-hmm. You can go and deploy a VM and it's hands-on. People outside of our community may be familiar with TryRuby. Think of it as TryRuby for the cloud and all of our products. Mm. And the whole idea around it was, and I'd say, you know, the thing that we're trying to do is, like, let's do one thing. Let's do one thing and do it well. Let's not do one thing and have 17 other groups at Microsoft to go do it. Right? Let's go and do one thing and work as a company. And so this skilling and training connects to everything. And so what I mean by that is, think about it this way. The way we build our skilling and learning content as a company, we start with something called a job task analysis. It's called a JTA. I didn't know the term 2 years ago, but it's how you think about certifications. And we said, you know what? What are the modern roles? Developer, ops, admin, data scientist, and let's go work with a set of industry folks and across Microsoft and do an analysis on it about what are the job tasks, what do you need to do to succeed. Mm-hmm. And by starting with that baseline, all of our content, everything starts with great content, really kind of becomes one thing. Now a customer or a developer, you'd expect that, wait, it's from Microsoft. It should be one thing, but it's kind of beautiful how it comes into it. So we had a thing called Ignite the Tour, right? Ignite the Tour was across all of our areas. We were running an event, roughly 6,000 people minimum every 2 or 3 weeks at these Ignite the Tour events, mm-hmm. that we were showing up for a free event. All of the fundamentals content were derived from that JTA, that job task analysis. All of our Microsoft Learn content, the digital experience for you to go learn hands-on, are driven from that JTA. Now, some people want to do in-person training, not so much right now, but if we are training partners, all of our training partners for the fundamentals content, whether it shows up as an in-person or Kumon training center or an in-person training that we deliver into the enterprise where we show up at a company and do that. All of that now is all in sync to those JTAs, all in sync with Microsoft Learn. So that you want to do hands-on, and actually in a lot of this training when we do it and we do it delivered virtually now, first thing you do is create an account on Microsoft Learn. And it's about how do you have it, make it easy, how do you make it free so that if somebody's learning, you know, say Hadoop, like let's not destroy your subscription and your budget by somebody making a mistake and spinning up a Hadoop. That's a subscription that Jeff Sandquist and team own and run on behalf of Microsoft and that you get to go use. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different approach because it's around these learning paths. And so if you go through and you spend your time and you work all the way through the Azure Developer Learning Path, mm-hmm. because it's all connected, you can actually go and get certified. And you'll pass if you know, assuming you learn the knowledge, you go through the knowledge checks, mm-hmm. you do the hands-on work, you'll be able to pass that certification and say that you're a certified Azure developer based on it, because it's all mm-hmm. in sync. You'll be able to, you know, show that and in a very meaningful way, show that you have those skills. And so we're really kind of trying to bring that into one thing, and it's a type of set of learning, and we're really trying to go experiment with it. And so that was the launch of Microsoft Learn.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Like this is, again, the team that could, right? I remember when we showed Satya the Microsoft Learn for the very first time, and we wanted to get to the demo. It was just this wonderful thing where he was able to see, I'm so impressed about like, hey, this is interactive, it's hands-on. Mm-hmm. Anybody can start and do this. And it's gamified. You unlock these achievements as you do it and you build it, you know, as you kind of do points. It's really fun. And it's became like, it's robust, right? Like we have since we launched, like we have 3.9 million registered learners on Learn platform. Mm-hmm. By the way, in April, we talk MAU, monthly active users, mm-hmm. 272% year over year. And this now is Azure all the way to Microsoft 365. Mm. And it's free and step-by-step. But this whole connection, right? If you think about what's happening now in the world, right? As people are up-leveling their skills or how to keep track in their organizations, like, trying to kind of keep and develop their people. Never have we had to have a time where people have to go learn in a way. And I think that this is going to be really helpful for people, you know, as they're trying to say, wait, I've got these skills. How do we validate them? And that's all through Microsoft Learn. And it's like there's, I think, 225 learning paths out there. There's 1,000 modules. There's 35 certifications that are available for, you know, the industry roles. And Microsoft Learn, you think about, remember I talked about, we're going to build the service for developers, right? And this is really about docs, and now it's Microsoft Learn. We are our Q&A platform, right? We go to Stack Overflow, our engineers are there, but we need a modern Q&A platform because our forums on MSD and TechNet, 15 years old, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we get this, like, this is a privilege, Mary Jo, like, for us to get to go work on this. Like, who gets to go work on things, like, you know, that are going to be lasting time? But it's a digital transformation is what's going on here. And you see this, right? You see where it's bits and pieces coming together. And that transformation is, we're living it here, right? Like, MSD and TechNet, 300 on-prem servers when we started this that I had, there was bare metal. That I was like, how are we ever going to get this to the cloud? We built code galleries. That's what's happening here. Hopefully, I went a little long. I didn't care. I care about the space so much, but the context here is we want to build something that's awesome for the community to get help, get the answers they need, connect with one another. But we don't want to just do it on things that we run, because our developers are out in communities. We want to do it in a way that gets to them mm-hmm. Keep it through.
So how does Learn TV fit in with that?
So super early start, and maybe it's Learn TV. It probably feels a little bit like college radio right now, or maybe even a little bit of public access TV. Mm-hmm. Live from our Channel 9 studios. So, you know, the people you know and love are helping us put together there. And there's a few things that we wanted to do there. And I'd say one, it's if you think about you know, it's really about live and on-demand programming. And it, while we're all online right now, you think about how do people, you know, kind of go online to kind of share and tell stories. Well, we as a team, we want to go where developers are. So we're on Twitch, we're on YouTube TV, we've got podcasts, we want to show up, we want to be great guests and help, you know, people that have podcasts like yourself to show up there. But boy, you know, when you got all these different streamers around, and frankly, we just trained, I don't know, a few hundred people that build at Microsoft employees to deliver great things online. What's one place where you can go and just lean back and help us kind of curate a set of programming? And so with Learn TV, it's really we what we wanted it to be is a place that you can go to, and we have a little bit of fun with it. We have kind of, if you actually watch it, it's TV. Like we have interstitials, we have station identification. And Learn TV is a place that you don't have to think. It's something that we think is interesting that you'd want to watch. It's on demand as well as live programming and Q&A. And much like, hey, you could go to Spotify or the music service that you want to pick your songs some days or things you curate. Sometimes I just want to go to Pandora and have somebody pick for me. Mm-hmm. And Learn TV is meant as a way, hey, it's a discoverable place that we're going to be running programming through. And we wanted to kind of do it as a new channel. We, you'll see you got stuff on there like Azure Fridays and things like that we produce through Channel 9, but we kind of wanted to try it in a format this way. And much like TV, we'll break in, and when there's a major event going in, we'll break in and we'll run that kind of virtual event through Learn TV. We'll have fun. We're going to try small little 5-minute bits of nuggets and content. And that's really relaying that foundation there. And we have a number of different places that we run video, but we're trying to kind of learn about literally what's the right thing to go do here and how can we make it easier for customers to find it. You know, you look, you know, we're out there on Twitch, but you look, you've got lots of people that might be their username /man2349, or there's Brian Clark on our team that's out there. How do you make it easy to find stuff and kind of create a place for people to tune into it? We did it in around Learn for a bunch of things. It was a nice place to kind of seed it in. So it's in an area that we're developing and we're investing. I've got an engineering team that is building all of these online experiences. Like this is part of our business. So we wanted to put it there so that we could, you know, as people are online, how do we kind of bring in something where maybe we don't have to spend the time explaining, hey, here's how you deploy a virtual machine on Linux for Node. We have a learning path for that. So can we make it where we answer questions and bring people through on it? Mm-hmm. It's a start, and that's, you know, that's how we're doing it. Did that answer the question?
It does. What's the overlap or difference between where you think Learn TV is going to go and Channel 9 is going to go?
You talked about one of my favorite children, Channel 9, like Mary Jo. I'll just say it's like Channel 9 literally changed my life. And was, you know, prior to Channel 9, and maybe newer people to our community, you know this, but prior to Channel 9, Microsoft, it was those early days of blogging, but prior to all of that was going on there, we didn't connect with our customer developers like we do today, right? A lot of our, if we wanted to connect, it was often through a PR agency to you, and there was this real shift that went underway that I'm kind of glad we didn't know what was going to go happen because it changed all of our lives. And it was about, it really started with, hey, Channel 9 started with, you know what? We came back from PDC and we said, wow, imagine if we could do an event like this every day of the week. Like, I was pretty new in the company. I was like, man, my review would write itself. My performance review would write itself. Like I could just... Because it was about like you meet somebody at our company and it would be on an airplane. I don't know how many times you or an event, and they'd say, wait, you're just a nerd like me. Like this is way back the Don Box, the Chris Anderson days.
Yeah.
And the moment for me back then was about Chris Anderson explaining to a customer at PDC that he had a sump pump problem, just like this other person was saying, and flooding their basement. And the person said, wait, you're just like me. And I look, we build software. I work for the largest software company in the world, and people are surprised we're like them. Mm-hmm. But it was this moment where people got to see the people behind our products. Mm-hmm. And just Channel 9 in that very beginning, really, we didn't even know weeks going in ahead of it what our content would be. And it was Bill Hill. It was him doing this video where there's only one space after period. It was him talking about how the most important OS of all time in this video, and it was Charles Torrey, Robert Scoble that did these first videos. And I remember watching them and seeing Bill Hill saying, hey, the most important OS is not Windows, not the Macintosh, it's Homo sapiens. And there hasn't been a reboot in over a billion years, and that's who you're building your software to. And I was like, how do we get these people to the people that, you know, like 0.00 some percent of our customers will ever make it to a major event? Mm-hmm. How do we get them to meet a people? How do we get it so that it's easy for our people just to show up and connect? Mm-hmm. And Channel 9, that story, Channel 9 was the in-flight audio to American Airlines, or sorry, United Airlines.
Yeah.
And I was listening to that cockpit and giving context, right? Like how, hey, you know, the pilot doesn't just zoom off to the right. Hey, I'm getting a little bit of turbulence. When you, if you're afraid of flying, you hear him, that calmness, you go, wait, we're not all gonna die here. We're gonna be okay. They're not freaking out in the cockpit because there's turbulence. Well, as a developer, right? That's no different. If we just cut a feature and don't give context, well, that's just the airplane flying off to the right.
Right.
And people put their livelihoods on us. This is how I think about my job. And as leading developer relations, is people put their livelihoods on us. They come into their boss on Monday and say, I'm going to build this on Azure. I'm going to build this on .NET. I'm going to use Power Apps to go build this. They make training decisions and career decisions, and that's a responsibility. And so Channel 9 was about giving insights and learning into that. And that really became something super special. And so if I think of Learn TV, you know, much like we didn't know with Channel 9 back then what it would become, mm-hmm. it is driven. Like Golnaz, who you know, Golnaz mm-hmm. is working on Learn TV. Seth is working on Learn TV. We wanted to kind of create a new outlet that is founded in those roots. It doesn't replace Channel 9, but it's really a way that we're bringing live. And it's a bit of a frame for us to point to, right? We're moving a lot of work online for our team. How can we have it in a way that is really done so on this kind of overall property? But no, when we do Learn TV, there'll be episodic content. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what we're going to do is we've done this already in some of our episodes, Brian Clark is on Twitch. He's streaming there to an audience that he has, and he's on my team. He's a cloud advocate, great following. He's fun. But he's also sometimes when he's doing that, he goes, hey, I'm on Learn TV today. And this is a way that people who may not know who he is can do that. We found this in really early days of Channel 9, that developers would tune in, they'd minimize the video, and they would just listen. And they would use that to kind of program their day. Mm-hmm. And so we hope with Learn TV that we'll run what was some of our episodic shows, like Azure Fridays, we'll do it live.
Yeah.
We can bring on guests. We'll do things like Q&A and take people through learning paths, right? And help them kind of get certified, right? And do that. Mm-hmm. That's the vision around it. And it's the same group of folks around it. And again, we're going, just like anybody who's out there, we're pivoting. There's a digital transformation, so to speak, that I have legacy systems. I don't think of Channel 9 as legacy. I was thinking of library and doc, but I've got legacy systems that I can't just move everything in 1 month. I've also got to go kind of ship things. And then we got to learn from the community. Wait, do we want our docs like this? Wait, do we want a 3-column layout? Do we want this? I want to look it on GitHub. That's all that's coming to get here. And what we find, Mary Jo, is that such a large amount of the customers don't go to the main homepage.
Right.
They go to the docs page. They go to the learn page. They get to it through Twitter. We're trying to make sure that we have those assets. And I would love to have it so it's like exactly here's where it's all coming together. And we know that for like docs and learn, but some of this has to be shaped with the community. I'm really excited about Learn TV. Like I'd say, I think my team said, can you talk about something else besides Learn TV, Jeff? I'm excited about it. And I'll put
That's
it
good.
This.
That's good. I'm excited to see what it comes out to be. I mean, who knew what Channel 9 was going to be when that started? I remember the first few episodes I saw of it, and I'm like, what are they doing? You know? So, yeah.
I don't think we knew either. What we were doing. Man, that was a special time.
It was.
Can I say something, Isla? There's this moment, and I'd say, you know, I'm an engineer. My background is, and I built software at Microsoft, and we run these services. And I think at different times in my career where I felt like I was part of something special that I'll remember forever. Channel 9, of course, was part of that. And you could just feel it. You like, we couldn't go to bed. We didn't want to go to bed. We stayed up 24 hours. We stayed up nonstop because people just kept on connecting. Some people thought it would last a week or two and it wouldn't continue on, but it was this one of many moments where connect the community. Last week was like that too. Mm-hmm. Last week at Build felt this way. I think we all needed to get together in one way, shape, or form. But last week felt like one of those moments. We also, same thing, couldn't go to bed, right? Mm-hmm. Like we were at Build, we had our staff and our team doing kind of like breaks in between the sessions. And I feel like we're part of those moments. And when I saw Seth or Donna or Brian Clark or so many people on my team, I think such a part of the show, I'd say I was really proud. But I felt like I was in this moment where, I don't know if this will make sense to you, but I think we've been talking about Channel 9 and those days, we have this whole cast of characters at Microsoft that are fun. Like, I love them. Hopefully our customers too, but I love them and I love how they show up as themselves. They're authentic. You get to know them. I sort of felt like last week it was almost like there's a new season of Saturday Night Live starting, Mary Jo. You started bringing on these characters and, oh my gosh, Mary Jo, it's like the good season of Saturday Night Live. It'd be you with Eddie Murphy and Steve Martin and here we are. And that's how Build felt for us. Like,
yeah.
We want to go out and talk to our community, and it felt like something special was happening. Mm-hmm. We did not want the show to end. And Learn TV, we said, wait, how could we do this in a way that we can stay connected? And it's not 24 hours of programming, but you know what? Watch as time goes on. Are my teams across 25 countries around the world, and we'll do it. Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, I am going to have to end this, sadly. It's so much good conversation and good stuff about community, but all good things come to an end, and so does the MJF chat. But thank you, Jeff, for coming on and talking about all these things. It's like, I feel like I'm going along the reminiscence path with you, because I've been there through a lot of this stuff too with you. So yeah, thanks.
Thank you. You are part of our community too, Mary Jo. We miss seeing you at events, and when it's safe to do so, we'll be there. Thank you for all that you do to curate for our community, synthesize, and kind of bring what we're doing and bring context to it.
Thank
you. I hope
you're
staying safe and healthy. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. And for everyone else listening right now to the podcast, all you MJF chat readers and listeners, I'll be posting more information soon on Petri about who my next guest is going to be. Once you see that, you can submit questions directly on Twitter for that guest. In the meantime, if you know of anyone else, or even yourself, who might make a good guest for one of these chats, please do not hesitate to drop me a note. All my contact information is available on petri.com. Thank you.
Yay!